It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Ho, ho, hello there.
Ho, ho, hello, and only Ben Roy Turner, because JB Josh Brown is off for Christmas. Mr. Jules Gill is very, very ill. Ewan Patterson's over on the Force Culture doing all sorts of things with Star Wars. Kirsten's streaming. It's just basically, it's me and Mr. Ben Roy closing out the year as best we can. Yes. And the only thing that's doing the rounds anyway is Cyberpunk, unless we're going to talk about EA bidding for Codemasters. So with that stuff kind of all up in the air, depending on how it goes, we just thought we'd continue the conversation around Cyberpunk. Which is to say, I just want to open on a very open-ended question, and then we will hit some specific stuff as well. Do you think Cyberpunk 2077 is a good game?
Every time I play it, I like it more and more.
Cool.
If that helps with that answer there. What about you?
Well, yeah, your man. Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I'm like 30 hours in now. I'm on the PS5, obviously. We're both on PS5, but it's obviously the PS4 version upscaled and stuff. But I think that one of the biggest talking points right now is that idea of like, how the hell could anybody like this game? It's clearly so broken. It's got so much wrong with it. Why the hell are there positive reviews out there, etc.? But that's obviously contingent on the fact that the PC version is like head and shoulders above what the regular console versions are. And the mid-gen, or whatever you want to call it, version, if we're going between last-gen stuff and PC, the one that we're on, if you're playing on Series X, you have, hopefully, you've hardly had any crashes at all. And if you're on PS5, then for the most part, it runs as advertised. Even though I can obviously get a lot of people's gripes with the police AI, the NPC stuff. Like, we're going to get into that stuff. But I do think there's a really cool, deep RPG here. And I think it's worth just sort of like diving into that stuff. Let's compare a couple of missions, and then we'll get to some more of the negative stuff. Like, I was just saying before we started recording, like, as an example of how things can go, the bit at the very beginning when you have to get the spider bot back from, it's like, it's the dude's called Dum Dum, and he works for like all these like, whatever, thugs or whatever. I went in there and had a full conversation with that guy and negotiated with him. And then he was going to like, he was all up for giving me the spider drone. You just ran in and shot everybody.
Well, because Jackie just started going in there, and I was like, well, I guess I can't just leave now. And then I was just like, we went in there.
But Jackie doesn't open fire, though, did he?
He's like, well, you know how some of the NPCs in that game go, I'm waiting. Hello, right. I'm waiting. And I was like, just give me a moment, will you, man? And then this is one of the quests that they showed off, like CD Projekt Red, like showed all the different ways you could do it. And I'm a talky person, so I would have gone and had a chat if I thought I had the chance to. But I thought that time had been and gone. Like, I even had a little phone call beforehand, and then went in and blasted everyone. But yeah, we went in there, and it was very tense. Mm-hmm. And then it was either shoot or die. So I did a shoot.
Because I did the thing where I hung out with Meredith beforehand, got the chip, went in, had a conversation with the Dum Dum guy, and then the chip activated because Meredith's people tried to intersect, and then it all blew up, and then it all went that way. But speaking of the marketing, though, and the stuff that they've shown off, because you mentioned wanting to touch on, like, before we started recording, like, they've, and even right now, there's an advert doing the rounds that makes it seem like Cyberpunk is like GTA. Like, there's a scene, it's an old CG trailer. There's V sitting down with one of the gang leaders or whatever, and he's like, oh, you want to take over Night City? And he's like, you're gonna have to do this, and they show him like burning out in a car, firing like a machine gun out the window, and then it shows him like potentially buying like a condo with a helipad on the side. That's not a thing in the game at all. Like, you only fire out the side of a car when you're in scripted car chases. You can't do any car chases in the world itself. And that whole idea of buying property is just not a thing. So what do you think of, I guess, the marketing side of it versus, because there is some reality to like branching paths and stuff, but they've also misled people quite a lot.
I love it. I love how they've done it where there's a certain point, should we say, at the end of Act One where everything changes and, you know, and it's not like, oh, you're misled into a horrible sense. Like, no, it's like, oh, so this whole first bit was just the intro. It was the longest intro. Like, you think you've done the intro because I did Nomad. Do you do Nomad?
No, I'm stupid.
So in Nomad, you start out in the desert and then you meet Jackie and then you do some smuggling and you have a chat with someone who's interrogating you and you do all this. And then you have your sort of like night city, bitch, where you're sort of dancing around and you go around for 6 months.
Montage, I think, regardless,
And then you think that's the end of the intro. But nah, the intro, I think we're doing like minor spoiler warnings on this one here.
Depends what it is, but I think, anything
that I won't say anything like major, themselves. But like the next like couple hours is all just, it's all still intro. You could spend the next tens of hours in that section before you even get into what I would say is the real experience. Meet our friend Keanu, I think that's as far as there, but like before Keanu, I think everything there is build up.
Oh yeah, definitely. The thing is that for me, it all starts to intersect really well. Like it's strange because they do have these systems in that are completely half-baked. Like the police stuff is just, there's a wanted level system, but they never chase you. The police can't even access the cars. You don't ever really see them driving them. I just literally stole a gang member's bike and took off down the road. And I just looked, I hit down on the right stick or click the stick in to look behind me. And the guy was just like zipping back and forth trying to follow me on the road because he was doing the dodge move thing. And it just looked so stupid. And I get that those systems are really half-baked, but at the same time, like it's only when I start, thinking about comparing it to an open world crime sandbox game that I notice those things, because I don't think anything in the game pushes you towards doing, breaking the law or doing crazy stuff. It's just, like I said before, though, CDPR have put those adverts out there saying like, hey, you're going to dominate the city and you're going to do all this crime stuff. And you are like a mercenary for hire and everything. But, I haven't really been treating the open world in the same way as a GTA, as a Sleeping Dogs, as a whatever, to see what I can get away with. I've just been sticking to a mix of side missions, main missions, narrative-based stuff, character-based stuff. And I think when all those things interact, like you quote unquote, don't need the police stuff. You don't need the interactions with the open world necessarily because everything else is so strong.
I agree. Like I wouldn't have been doing, the only time I ever deal with that is when every time, because I think the driving is still a bit crap in this. Like when I
go back and forward on it,
when I go to do a turning, there's always one person magically where I need to go, and then they get crushed, and then the police hey, and they know where you are instantly. It's like if you're in an alleyway, it's like the whole city knows what you did somehow, and it's fine. But even if that was I'd say more implemented, I wouldn't deal with it anyway, because I came into this thinking it's just gonna be you treat it like a Fallout. It's just a bigger city where you don't bother dealing with any of the sort of you don't steal anything unless no one can see you sort of thing. And I just wanted to hit here for the RPG stuff rather than a GTA crime box sand feel in the sand.
Yeah, but I mean it's strange because I think they haven't done the best job at really nailing down exactly what Cyberpunk was. Like you said, there's that realization that Act One is everything that's in the trailers, like going through those first few missions and going so everything they showed off was from the first third of the game. You can elongate that opening bit if you want, but that's the stuff where you'll experience the least crashes. That's the stuff where they've shown it off the most. It's the most confident parts of the game. But the more you play, the more it starts to crash, the more it kind of struggles to keep up with the amount of things it's juggling, whether it's background missions and text and voice messages and everything else. And it feels like it gets more unwieldy the longer you go on.
Yeah, about every hour and a half, 2 hours, you might get lucky and get 3 hours sometimes, depending on what you're doing. But if you get every time you do something, if you travel somewhere, you need to be getting a quick save. If you're doing a mission, hit a quick save a few times. Yes. Do a few manual saves while you're at it. But if you get out of the car too quickly and run around the corner into a busy street, dead sort of thing. that's the sort of thing that you kind of start to learn.
It a little bit too much.
What you do might kill the game. So it's not ideal by any means. Games like this should be labeled as early access at this point, because I think other people have said it as well. I can't remember who exactly said it, so I'm sorry if I was stealing your take. But it's this game, for business reasons, they obviously they had to release it before the end of the year. And there's a bunch of, I don't think they're not as big as like a Microsoft where they can go, look, Monster, chill out. We'll do your Doritos. We'll sort it out next year. I don't think CDPR could do that. So like,
well, they sort of did for a while. I mean, it had like 3-4 delays just this year anyway.
It was the last point. You don't like if they, I think if they could have done next year, they wouldn't have said December. Like December is like the weird dead month of games. Like the last like big game that sort of blew up in December, I think that was Far Cry 3, unless you can think of anything else. Like, you know, and that was just binned in December, and then it turned out to be like, it started a whole trend for Far Cry. But yeah, it's not ideal. It should be labeled as early access, but I'm still having a really good time, and I'm not really suffering with any major bugs. Like, I've not been trapped in a lift, and I've not had quests break yet. So I'm not trying to be like, the Defender, it's great, but it's great for me so far.
I think I enjoy it a lot. I think that the stuff every time someone flags like a qualm with it, I go, yeah, like totally. Like, I think some stuff is way more obvious than others. Like there's tons of animation bugs, or little sort of like clipping issues, or if you reload a save a character, it seems to reset characters when you reload a checkpoint rather than the exact state they were in, which is to say that like I did a mission with Pan Am at one point when I was outside in the desert, and you and her are like at one point you can leave her like in the car or whatever, and you're gonna go and try and save someone, and I tried going in there stealthily. I got spotted. I reset it, and it just made her reset. Like standing on top of the car, she was meant to be sitting in the car, but then her AI just reset as well. So then suddenly she was on the mission with me, running in after me, even though I was still trying to do it stealthily. And she was like shouting in the background, going like, "Yeah, let's take him on. Let's do it."
I think Judy had break a few times where she's just like, "Help me! I'm dying!" There's not around her, and she's screaming in the corner with no gun, doing the shooting animation. You're fine, I'll just go and trigger the next thing and you'll appear next to me. And she did eventually, but it just things like that, like, you're fine, Judy, it's fine, nothing's going wrong, I swear. We swear. And but I don't know, have you had any sort of like which I came across, like the random Keanu moments where you might have a little chat? Like, we walked past a busker, and we just had like in a market, and it was just like, it turned into like, say, a 5-10 minute thing. I was like, you know what, this is just, I put the control down, just listened to it, just pressed like my prompts when I needed to. And I was like, this is what I started wanting. Like, and yeah, I'm so glad that you're so attached to this character from the get-go, pretty much.
Yeah. The stuff to really point out is that, because I've seen a lot of people on the negative side just say like, what the hell is up with the mission design? Because it's true, at the very beginning, like, you obviously have the three main strands. Well, it becomes three main strands, but you have one main thing. You are working your way towards the big sort of heist thing, and then it splits off into three main paths. But for the most part, those side missions or those open world missions are very Ubisoft light, where it's just go to a place, retrieve an item, kill a guy, like, you know, steal a car, whatever. And it's weird because you get there and you get a text as you arrive saying like, hey, this is why you're supposed to care. This person was actually on the run and they're hiding there, and that's, you're supposed to go and get them out. And I think that way of handling it is really weird. I feel like they tried to split the difference between like an Ubisoft collectathon or an Ubisoft tick box thing and, you know, what CDPR bring to the RPG genre, which is like way more in-depth context stuff. But some of the best stuff in the game just happens over time. Like that busker thing, you can just randomly walk upon that guy like in the market square. But I also had Judy and Pan Am just ring up and have really random out of nowhere, like emotional moments just happen. And it just pulled me away from the main story. And then I spent like 2 hours just hanging out with those characters doing something that came out of nowhere. I don't know if you've had those things yet. It might just be based on playtime.
I've just had a few sort of phone calls, and we've retrieved a character, me and Judy, sort of thing. So we've not done anything much. We had like a little chat in her sort of like apartment and like whenever a few things. And can I just say the sort of the investigation stuff, I can't remember what they call it.
The brain dance stuff.
Where you go in and you look at a crime, well, look at someone's last memories and you go around. And I actually really enjoyed that. I thought when it first happened, here we go, and there, it's just gonna be some like crap detective thing, like it just feels like LA Noir white light or something. Right. And it was actually, I found that quite enjoyable as well. Like, I think that it doesn't, I've done it like 3 times, and that's also just like sort of like something I wasn't expecting. And I like how their new twist on it. And it just, I thought that was also enjoyable. But yeah, like the whole things with the side characters so far and Judy and some others just been fine.
Because it's obviously CDPR, like if you, obviously The Witcher 3, like there's a level of depth to that script that really elevates those characters. It really feels like they're like, you know, emotionally rounded people. And one of the biggest criticisms, I mean, I definitely had it going into Cyberpunk, was that it felt too like cheesy. Like it's obviously the original book was written in like 1988, like the original text or whatever. And it kind of has that like, you know, like kind of faux edginess, like faux 80s cheese, where like everyone's doing some biz and like, give me the deets and I'm going to go like waste this guy and all that kind of stuff. But they play that in such a weird self-aware way where it's so full on. And then you get that scene with V where he's like, or they or whatever, like, you know, she can be just saying like the whole world, all that stuff is so overwhelming and I just want to turn it all off. And you get that whole scene where they're like, CDPR are more than aware of the really ridiculous stuff that they're writing, and then they try and play it both ways, and I think like that gives it a bit more humanity. And like hanging out with Keanu or hanging out with in my case it's been Judy and Panam, they, and there's a great scene with Takamura later on, you know, those
grounded great moments. As well,
Takamura is awesome. I think they rush a little bit with him in regards to what he knows. Like, not to get into spoilers, but once that dude like pops up in full, once he starts relaying information about what he knows about the event that both of you sort of like were part of, some of the scripting stuff around that feels a little bit rushed. I've seen that sort of covered on Reddit and stuff as well. But yeah, in terms of just like straight characters, character writing, stuff like that, like in terms of like the straight up quality of it, like how have you found the cast, I guess, overall?
I've really enjoyed my time with Jackie. I've really enjoyed my time with Judy. I'm trying to think of, is it, begins with E. She has
Evelyn.
I've enjoyed Evelyn as well. I like how she kind of keeps V on his toes. The Keanu stuff, like I was fully expecting just cheese, but it's going from more cheese to depth, especially when you sort of like can see stuff's perspective, things from his perspective. Just some other characters that I've sort of bricked on the side of, like I won't say the names, but like someone who looks like they would destroy you by flicking you and how imposing they are.
It's not a spoiler to say that that character might be Adam Smasher,
the big robot guy.
That's Adam Smasher. Great name.
You just see like, okay, I'm not gonna go anywhere near you, even down to I keep wanting to call it the DeLorean, the Delmont guy.
Delamain.
The Delamain, the car, like, and then doing those side missions, retrieving other Delamains, so that they've been entertained, like, just one of them sulking, so you've got to stop for a minute and just wait for it to chill out and drive slowly. Everything, like, all the character stuff, I've really enjoyed, especially, like, Jackie. Jackie just was and is so great. Like, I was expecting me to be like, oh, just sort of, like, character seven, but Jackie... I can see why they showed him off so much in the pre-release stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, it's between Jackie and Johnny Silverhand for me.
I think for the Jackie stuff, like they have that montage at the beginning. But again, like if I'm gonna criticize stuff, I think that it rushes a lot of. It's weird. It has that weird rush where you pick your life path, you do the beginning thing, and then you meet Jackie, and then everybody gets the same montage. And we cut to like a year in the future, where as a team, as like you and Jackie, you've been doing missions for like a year and you've got to know him and like, you know, everything else. That's the stuff that I kind of wish they spent way more time on, because when you come out of that montage, you're on another mission, which is the mission they showed before in all the trailers where you're retrieving the body of like the naked woman from like the bath or whatever. And like, they had that in the trailers, but that whole like fundamental character building stuff, I kind of wish they let you flesh out a bit. And it makes me wonder if they cut any part of that, because it seems a little bit too scattered.
Could you imagine how long the intro would have been? Like, that would probably you would imagine that being in the sort of like the reviews, like as a negative. It's kind of like how the text message stuff, like I can see how it's a bit of one. Like, I'm like, bugger off, man. I just want to play for a minute. But that replaces going up to a signpost and just taking all the notes, doesn't it? Like, there's no other surrogate for that, really.
No, I tell you what, I really do like, if you want to have a conversation with an NPC without driving to them, you can just ring them instead. Like, that's great. And for the most part, like, sometimes you can trigger entire missions that way, but you can also get, you know, just like flavor dialogue. If you ever have that feeling in an RPG that you should be checking in with every character, which is something I always had in like Mass Effect, you can just stand around and ring someone or ring them on the way to the next main mission that you want to do.
It's fully animated as well. It's not just like a JPEG that you sort of like beeps. So that that's also... like gives me more reason to want to get involved in these conversations and like watch them rather than ignore it. Like just things like that.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say the thing that I think elevates it for me, the thing that made me go, okay, I see why a lot of people are giving this. Like some people obviously give, like obviously Jules gave it 5 stars. I've seen a bunch of 5-star reviews and stuff out there. Like the thing that I thought elevated it was the mix of everything. And it is overwhelming. Like the phone calls, the text messages, like the main stuff, the side stuff, the gigs. Like there's so much stuff to get stuck into. And there's all the cyberware and there's all the character upgrades and whatever. But when I got all that stuff down and I was like speccing my character, I was having specific dialogue exchanges. And then when I started realizing how other people play missions based on how I played, and I was juggling text messages and phone calls on the way between missions, that's when I was like, okay, everything you've done, I see 8 years worth of craft here. And it's stuffed, like it's overstuffed, but I've got it. And that was when I was like, cool, this is great. This elevates everything. It's awesome.
There's kind of no quiet time ever. Like, no. Like with The Witcher, like I've seen people say this as well. Like you'll be walking around from like town to town and just sort of like seeing what's going on, picking up a note, and you might get a little event on the way. But there's none of that really in Night City because you're in the city all the time. There's nowhere to pick up notes from. So you getting text messages and it's all in your face, like a lot of it. And I could see like maybe them adding like maybe it sounds weird, but like putting your phone on silent for half an hour in game sometimes, just right, like going, you have missed this many messages. It's just like, I don't know if that would break it in some way, because also I'm getting, are you getting phone calls from people you've never met, like we're gonna be working together. So it's like, who the hell are you? Like, what?
Well, the thing is, they do a thing. They've clearly tried to fast track a lot of the slow build stuff. Like they know that people play open world games, they want lots of stuff to do, and you know, unless you're gonna play something more tranquil like Breath of the Wild or whatever, they want to give you a bunch of stuff to do. And I think that they've tried to fast track that stuff while trying to keep the story focus or the character nuance that the studio is known for. So to fast track it, they've gone, right, V's a mercenary, people are just going to ring them and offer them a bunch of stuff. And that is district dependent or a borough. So when you go to a certain place, that fixer then rings you and says, hey, I've got like 12 things for you to do. But then that's 12 separate conversations that they have to like have either in a row or every sort of 5 minutes. Like I had Regina, I forget what her surname is, Regina, the first woman that rings you when you're in the main central city. She rang me 3 times in a row. Like it hung up and then rang again, then hung up and rang again. And she was just like, I've got a car for sale. I've got a hitman mission. I've got everything.
Dino's been on my tail. Like, Dino, you're right, mate. And I keep thinking, I just want to call you Dingo Dahl because I need to finish Crash Bandicoot. And just certain things like, they should have, what I would have said there, like maybe in the Super Happy Friends montage, like show a bit where Jackie and V go to like this club where they're all there. Maybe it's like the one time a year, all the people have their little club time, even if they hate each other, because I don't know half the relationships yet. Mm. Just things like that. Like just have something where you can see that they've known them rather than, are you? Because in a GTA, you kind of like get introduced. Like there's always like, you're talking to someone and then there's another, someone's going to give you a job to the side sort of thing. And then that's how you sort of get in there. It's just like, no, here is, hello, you're mine.
It was strange because I weirdly, like, because I did end up going to see Regina because she's the one who sort of puts you on the path of like, go take care of all the cyber psychos, like which are all the weird little sub-bosses that are all over the world and all the little mini-bosses and stuff. And there is a story-based reason as to why she's interested in them. And so if you go to her and you like go, you can go up the elevator and go up to her like penthouse suite and walk out and talk to her, then you have a whole conversation about why she's interested in collecting them. So they almost do it in reverse. And then you kind of get the context or more of the context as to why you're ticking boxes and you know, killing certain people. And in a way I was like, that's kind of fresh. Like I quite like that you've prioritized the gameplay side. And if I want extra story, I can go and find this woman. But I don't think they do a great job of that across the board. They don't really get across that V is like this, you know, mercenary that everybody knows. Cause like everyone just has your number and people just ring you and they're offering you a million jobs. And like, I had the same thing as you where I was like, why, what the hell's going on? And I think the only real explanation is in the first line of text when you pick your life path, where it just says like, you're a mercenary coming in from Atlanta and you're doing this, or at least you are as a street kid anyway.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me that much. I'm just laughing every time I get cool scan. Yeah, we need to do something soon. I'm trying to collect some cars first. Leave me alone. I'm going around just doing some stuff. Let me live my life in this cyber fantasy world that I'm in at the moment.
Well, there's so many like texts. Like we mentioned like text stuff, but it's like a character will ring you, tell you a job. You can't skip it. And then they'll text you the same job because they'll be like, oh, we need to give you like the dialogue entry for this, the text entry for it. So you'll get all of that as well.
And they do that thing where, you know, when someone texts you, but then they don't send that all at once and they send you like 17 texts. They do that a lot of the characters do that as well. I'm like, why have you done this sort of thing? But I mean, stuff like that doesn't really bug me. Like I would say one thing bugs me, I don't know about you, but like when I go to run, so it doesn't run when I have to click the stick a few times to make my character
sort of
run.
Hold it now because it's like a weird, I just assume that they want to make sure you want to commit to the run.
And also my character, like, it's not in any other game, but my character just wants to like look somewhere sometimes, and I'm kind of like guiding the stick back to the center. I don't know if anyone else. Well, no, because I was playing like I've been playing other games on it, and just I let the controller down, nothing happens. But in Cyberpunk, the character wants to look over there. I'm like,
that's annoying. I mean, I've got like I haven't had any scripting bugs that have completely killed the quest, but I have had stuff like that, not the camera look stuff, but I've had like, you know, like for the vehicles, like pinging off an NPC and flying up in the air, or like V being like catapulted across the city, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's so weird. And like the little things that like don't really add up to much, but again, like every
it's
time
lack
I play
of
this,
like it really is.
Every time I'm playing this, it's always going higher up in my sort of like yearly ranking of what I'm like enjoying about it so far.
Yeah, I think it takes a long time, or it takes a good few hours for all those elements to click and for it not to feel as overwhelming. Like, and I think I'm probably giving them too much of the benefit of the doubt, but part of me thought that that overwhelming sensation was completely intentional because they want you to be like this guy that's interacting, or this person. I keep saying guy because my V is male, but like, you know, interacting with all these different systems in the city, all these different people that are all coming at you, which all filters into that one scene where they say like, this is too much and I'm sick of it. And there's the whole thing, the whole exploration of the cyberpsychos and why they're like that is like in relation to being overwhelmed with this like technological society or technology focused society. So like there is a level of depth there, like nuance and thematics that's there that could justify everything, but at the same time getting texted and rang left, right and center is just like ridiculous. I was gonna say as well, in regards to like the cut content stuff we mentioned, like, you know, the idea of like, you know, getting condos and stuff or different property. I don't think the CDPR ever said that. I could be totally wrong. But they did say that NPCs would have daily routines, and that, you know, the cops could accept bribes, that there would be a depth to the cop system. You know, they mentioned car chases. They said that there would be high level sub bosses that would chase you down across the city, depending on what your reputation was. None of that stuff is in the game. Did you catch any of that in the pre-release, or has any of that stuff bothered you?
No, I mean, like, I'm not. It's weird. I'm playing this open world game for the quests. Like, I haven't fast traveled yet, which is quite surprising to me. Like, I've been driving. So far, I've only had to go like 2 kilometers max. Like, if it's less than a kilometer, sometimes I just take a walk or I'll go run around the city and go and have a look. But I want the open world to be revealed to me as I'm doing stuff. Like, I don't, like, for a lot of the time, like, I don't need to do some busy work. Like, even towards the end of GTA stuff, I don't even bother doing like a rampage anymore. Like, by the time GTA 5 came out, and I feel like a bit like Red Dead, I want it to sort of be shown to me as I'm going. I'm not going to go around like rummaging in the woods for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NPC stuff, like, I had that reaction the first time I came down the stairs out of the Megacorp building that you're in, and I saw the town square like full, because it was obviously, it can pull more data in on the PS5, it can free that stuff up and populate it a bit more. And there is a mission later on in regards to like a parade where there's just tons of people there, and there are some duplicates in amongst the crowd. But I had those wow moments where I was like, this feels like the most in-depth city I've ever seen in gaming.
Well, I was speaking about the NPC, the children in this game.
Weird science experiments.
This is also brought up by like one Vinny and Jeff Bacalar, but I also have to mention of Giant Bomb fame. But I spoke to one of these children, which I thought was a small human.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, I was like, you're right. It's like, what do you want to do here? Excuse me. And then, but because I thought the scam was going wrong, because there was like eight sort of like smaller people around me, and I thought, have they just copy and pasted what's going on here? Am I in a certain part of town? But no, they're all children, but they all look like fully grown adults, just reduced in size. And I was like, at least make them younger in the face.
It does look a bit weird. I don't know what that is. I don't really necessarily know what they're going for, like, other than just showing you an age variety of like NPCs. But yeah, I had the same thing where I was like, oh, that looks like, it doesn't look like a child. It doesn't look like someone who's younger. It looks like they took a fully sized NPC and just kind of shrunk and crunched it. Whether it's like limb size or something, something's off about them and it's hard to pin it down. I think it's a specific like torso to limb ratio.
Yeah, something about the face. And like, talk about like also sidewoven to being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. The perks and stuff like the trees are, I'm still trying to get my head around it.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that they've changed some of the trees in the patch or something recently, because I got a perk that's that let me run forever and didn't take down my stamina. And then now that is at the top of the tree, and now that I don't have that, and then I had the points back. So I don't know if I'm going insane, if I'm wrong in the comments, but it was
like a bug, like as if they've like somehow taken something away from you that they weren't supposed to.
Because I took a picture of the exact, but yeah, I mean, this, it was weird because I was like, wait a minute, I'm running now, my stamina's going down. I'm pretty sure that I had it. It was the marathoner, where basically your stamina never drains.
Okay.
And now it's at like level 14, but I'm pretty sure I had it the other day, and I'm pretty sure I had it on launch day, and then I've come back 2 days later and it's now over there. And
maybe, I mean, like there was a 47 gig patch on day one, there was another 17 gig patch, there's another patch coming this week. It's just, it seems like it's a bit all over the place. I mean, with The Witcher 3's menus were completely overhauled after a few months, so it's, I think at some point they'll completely change it, because all the stuff with the crafting and the upgrades and the crafting components that apply to every individual thing, like weapons and everything else, like it's, there's a lot to take in. Like, I can kind of work with it. Well, I have worked with it and I figured it all out and whatever, but I get that to a lot of people, it's just like, oh my God, this thing is a mess.
Because I don't know really what I want to achieve, because like some people said, I saw people saying that the stealth was rubbish, but then like I've been pretty successful with the stealth, and I think it's, but then you, if you do stealth, it also levels up stealth as well as like you can do other things to level. So I'm still in the phase where I'm experimenting with everything. Like, do I want to be more of a chatty person or a hacky person? Do I just want to be able to pull doors open? Do I want to be able to like creep about like a little goblin or something like that? There's all these sort of like things that I just want to find the guy that, or the doctor that gives you the double jump, which I've heard is actually really helpful.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I realized after like 10 hours. I forgot that Ripper Docs were even a thing. Like, I was leveling up using the character system in the pause menu and going like, this is a bit lame, like 30% damage reduction, 5%.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh my God, it's this system, it's this thing that's in every loot game, like, you know, screw this. And then I kind of like was like, oh man, there's the whole Ripperdoc thing, which they don't push you towards at all after the initial Victor Vector thing. And so I went on the map and I found a Ripperdoc. And now as soon as you find the Ripperdoc, because I know Rich finished the game with only getting the one upgrade from Victor Vector and nothing else.
Rich has finished it.
Rich has finished the main campaign, yeah. And so like, but he didn't do as many of the side missions. He was like, I'm going to do main stuff and I'll mop everything else up later. That thing, that realization of like the Ripperdocs are where the actual skills are. Like that's where slow motion dodge aiming is. That's where, you know, like double jumps are, or charge jumps or blade arms or whatever. And then that stuff goes alongside the pause menu stuff, because that's where you upgrade blade damage or blunt force damage. And that means that you can punch harder or slice better or whatever. That combination of like two completely separate skill trees, one of which you have to find in the world versus the pause menu, that could have been done better.
Because I didn't do a mission called the gig, not an actual gig, but the gig. And I was like, oh, you get the God, they're things. And I had to go back and sort that, and then that reintroduced me to them. But then also on the pause menu, there's two layers of that, because there's the top layer, which
it's
is
like
what,
body, but, tech, whatever.
If you know, you get like a conversation like pointers, which you can use, but half of them just don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Or you can be able to open the door or do something else. And then there's the deeper layer. It's just, again, I'm still trying to muddle it with it. But then like certain things, like I went straight away for the ability to just murk cameras, because that first mission in the plant, I was just getting set on fire by cameras the whole time.
Oh my God, this, the overheat thing, yeah.
This is a crap system and I hate it and I don't want to play this game ever again. Then I found out how to turn the cameras off and I was like, yeah, now this is the best game in the world. Like, I was so fickle like that, but the overheating on cameras thing, I wish I could just rip that out of the game.
Yeah, they don't even cover that in the tutorial at all. You just set a flame and it's like, why am I on fire? What's going on? It's like someone hacked fire onto you. And that just happens if you're in the view of a camera. I think they could do a much better job with that. It reminds me a little bit of the first time I went through Skyrim, where like you touch on a million different potential paths, but the first time through, you just do whatever comes to mind. And then if you play Skyrim again or any sort of RPG with this level of depth, you spec in a very way more specific direction, because you then know what your overall options are.
It's weird. I think we should be thinking of this like a Skyrim or a Fallout. It's basically that, but there is no vast field to go through. It's very tight and I kind of like that. Like that you're, because always I probably would have started fast traveling a lot more. Like, I like the different take to it. Like I think it's better when it's condensed down. I think that's also probably obviously very taxing, because they have to like get everything rendering through, and I wouldn't wish the PS4 or Xbox One. Imagine playing on the original Xbox One right now.
That whole thing of like, should they have cancelled it? Like my reaction to that was like, well, no, because people have been anticipating it for years. But at the same time, maybe, because the version on there is absolutely early access. And I get like, you should be infuriated. You should get a refund. Like, it's ridiculous.
Will it ever be fine? Like, how do they get that to work? Like, do they just make it one person in the street or something? Like,
I don't know. I mean, it's like you try and think of any game that is as dense as this, with so many moving parts and such so many art assets to bring in at every opportunity. I can't think of any city that is as detailed as this that has so many moving parts. Like, it's like a Bethesda game in a built-up city, quadruple fold. Like, there's so much to it. But I do think, I mean, you've got this, I love the city. I love Night City. I love how detailed it is. I love being in that city. Everyone's the whole IGN thing of like, oh, you know, makes you feel like insert thing. It does make you feel like you're in that city. I do think it works. It does feel like the most realistic city.
Definitely.
Ever. And when you're juggling, you know, the missions, the different characters and all these different things that come at you, when it's working, I love it. Like, and I want them to tighten up the bugs. Obviously, I want the animation stuff to be sorted. The crashes are the main thing for me, because that's what literally takes me out of the game. But I, just for me personally, I'm not too bothered about the police systems. I think they should be in there, because they feel broken, especially with people spawning behind you. But it's pretty much there for me. It's just the crashes and then, you know, tightening up like some of the animation priority and stuff like that. But I don't know, for you, like as like a closing thing, what would you have them do to it? Are you pretty happy with where it is right now?
Third person mode, so I could see my D, because I feel like
photo mode.
I don't care about photo mode.
Photo mode's good, mate.
I'm too busy getting platinums. But I would like a third person mode. I would like it not to crash anymore, please. Probably fix for last gen people. Can you imagine how long it would take to reload the game on a last gen system?
Oh, like, my God,
thanks to the power of the PlayStation 5, this isn't the PlayStation. Yeah, jump straight back in, and it's just like you had a nice little break to check your phone before you answer the in-game phone. But my God, I've had like five now. For me, I don't think there is anything. It needs to run through. Nothing's perfect, right?
It's the polishing side of it. Yeah, like it's just polishing. The general life stuff.
I can't speak to any sort of other issues people have, like say with like what happened there in the transphobic debate that's going on and things like that. So I can't speak to any of that. But from a pure like just playing the game and like not diving into like what happened towards the end, like the crunch culture, like I think it's pretty solid and I think it's a great base to build off. I hope that the rumors aren't true and they go down to a multiplayer route and then that CDPR for the rest of the eternity, where they're just the multiplayer factory from now on. But I think that this is my favorite open worldish game that I've played for a while, where I'm not like, okay, I've seen what it is now, podcasts in and let's just go something. I'm looking at the world, I'm paying attention to the world, I'm investigating things, even though you can't speak to many of the NPCs significantly. I'm in it still and I'm not losing my sort of like taste for it like 15-ish hours in and I want more.
I think that's an extremely important point, is that it's one of the biggest, most expansive, like, you know, open world games that doesn't make you feel numb to it after 20 minutes. Like, because that's what I feel from Assassin's Creed, from Immortals Fenyx Rising, and from Watch Dogs. Even though I like those games, and I think some of them are, you know, game of the year, in the top 20 games of the year. But you know what you're getting from those games. I think that this just does everything better.
I had a fun time Watch Dogs Legion, but like that wasn't for any of their writing or anything, because it was all like, podcasting, and I'm gonna just play this and hack some stuff and really just shoot and stuff. But in here, I want to be in this world, and I was just doing side stuff that which normally would annoy me in the game. But I was like, you know what? I really just enjoy going around this world. And I was thinking to myself last night, oh man, yeah, it's really, I like this world.
Yeah, I'm curious to see just what the hell they do with it going forward. Like that, there's a whole potential, there'll be a whole other separate conversation as to what do they have planned for the multiplayer. Like, you know, is there even enough interest in that anymore? Like in the loot system that's in this kind of... Would it even work? Like the loot system kind of goes into a multiplayer thing, like a potential free-to-play multiplayer where you're doing some sort of loot box thing to get an epic gun or whatever, because you can get epic guns, iconic guns in this. You know, and there's that whole thing of it being in development for 8 years. Was the project, you know, reconsidered at some point to pivot in that direction and start having loot and having this potential multiplayer? And is that why it took so long? And is that why the single player is in such a state? I don't know, but I think the version that we've got, if you play on PS5, or if you play on Series X, or even Series S, it's a hell of a lot closer to what they were supposed to deliver. It's just an absolute shambles that they like messed up the review period and that last-gen versions are completely abysmal. I think that stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just coming so hot. And it's, again, like I feel like it's not, would have not been fixed, but if it came in with like, okay, if they had said, yo... The console version, especially the last gen, but no, they sent it on PC versions, nines, and then like you got some, like the lowest was a 7 from like GameSpot. And then it was all like fine pretty much, and then you get like hundreds, and then they go, well, it's not perfect, but you gave it 100, so mind blown. Anyway, but yeah, I think if they had just like maybe told us and not just going, just let's see what happens,
and
brush it under the rug sort of thing, then this would have been hell. Like I think people would be talking in more positive light, and it wouldn't be just like, say, another sort of like internet spout of me versus you sort of thing. But I think this game, I think people are going to take from this game and should see how to, like, you don't have to build the biggest open world like a Fallout 76. You can build something smaller but denser, and makes it feel, it feels bigger by having more in it and more substance to it, and like more to look at. Even though it can be like, look at the porn adverts, even though they're kind of funny as well.
I mean, a lot of those, like those gameplay loops are tighter because they're not so spread out. You're not traveling for 20 minutes just to tick off a thing. Like it's just around the corner, and then you're activating something else. All the while characters are ringing you and you're triggering different missions and stuff. So yeah, I mean, obviously this is our last podcast of 2020, because both of us are done for Christmas after this week. So we will still have we'll still have list uploads next week. We've still got chatty face audio, stuff like that. There'll be various things on the audio channel, on the YouTube channel that we've already scheduled. But for me and Mr. Benroy, we're done for 2020. We will be returning in 2021.
We've made it. We survived the 2020, the big year of inside sadness. But yeah, hopefully we're back next year, and maybe we get to go outside at some point.
Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, thanks everybody, obviously, for listening to us across the year. It's been an awesome run. Thank you very much, Mr. Benroy, as well, for keeping everybody going. It's been awesome. But yeah, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Benroy Turner.
Yeah, until next time, there's no more games, I guess. No
more. And we'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.